Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's BudPod 147.
147, come for Slevin. Come over to my house and we'll watch Lucky Number Slevin. Do you remember that movie?
Whoa, what a blast from the past. That movie was one of the arbitrarily selected movies to be popular in my year at school.
Oh, maybe we've had this conversation.
I think so. We've talked about the movie before a long time ago in some capacity, but...
But I remember you saying it was also like one of those movies that gets passed around the boys at a boarding school.
Yes, yeah. And it's sort of vaguely action-y and there's kind of gangstery.
Good twist.
Yeah,
very good twist.
There's a twist.
There's the lovely Lucy Liu.
Yes.
It's got everything a blossoming boy needs.
Blossoming indeed. Apologies for any traffic noises that anyone picked up there. I live on a dead end road, Phil, which isn't a song I'm about to sing. It's just true.
But, well, maybe this road needs to get off his ass, stop smoking weed, and do something with its life.
Get a job, road.
It just lies there all day.
It's a dead end road, but that doesn't stop random motorbike people and people in ugly cars from driving down it at incredible speeds.
The ugly cars are... You know what, actually? Ugly cars are a scourge of Britain.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but did you have this shock when you moved to the UK of how ugly and small the cars were?
They're definitely... I think we're both from countries that have much more of a kind of wide American car highway sort of vibe to them.
A lot more sort of... Yeah, there's a lot more like Land Rover style... vehicles where we're from, because they're occasionally necessary because the roads do flood.
Yeah, a lot of the cars, especially in any town in the UK, are like little bars of soap covered in dust.
Mm-hmm. I was astonished how ugly British cars were, and not like British made cars, like cars that British people buy and drive.
Yeah, and I think that's always been between a barrier between me and the car culture here, whereas you and I both know people, especially comedians, who are sort of car people in quite a practical way mostly, but they still know a lot about cars. But to me, if you're going to be a car person, you want one of those like square-fronted American muscle cars or like Italian for like a special-looking car. But watching someone rhapsodize about a car that looks like a kind of smooth shoe...
Yeah, without a heel.
Yeah, just a big smooth shoe, and they're like, look at that, and you go, it looks like a shoe.
Yeah, it's so awful. It's so baffling when I moved to the UK as, you know, as a 17-year-old, and you're in the midst of, like, car obsession. Even if you don't really give a shit about cars, because you're on that precipice of adulthood where you are allowed to get a driver's license,
you
become obsessed with cars. And boys would talk about their cars like they were Bugatti Veyrons.
Yeah.
But when they were like a Clio hatchback. And I'd be like, can you see the car that I see? And they're like, oh, mate, look at this. What? And they'd go get them souped up and they'd race them. And like, have you not noticed this car has not got the aerodynamic design intended for racing? Do you... Do you understand? And maybe only I understand, Harry, because I just got into Cambridge for engineering. But do you understand the kind of wake, the turbulent drag wake left behind by a flat back? What kind of drag do you think that is going to affect on your car? Quite a big one, actually. So you think this car's appropriate for racing? Yeah, I could not understand it.
It's like hundreds of different types of car that are all designed to travel under 4 miles a day to some shops and to a school.
Yeah. It's for kids in the middle and dogs in the back.
Yeah, and everyone's talking about it as if it's like different types of fucking Han Solo spacecraft. As if there's a chance that maybe this time you could drive the Renault Clio through the Highlands, like in that advert. And it's like, well, no, you can't. What?
I love a car advert that is for a car that is completely indistinguishable from any other car on the road. You know when it's like a fucking some fucking hatchback will drive around,
yeah,
like a city street, and like a handsome mixed race guy will have his head turned,
and
watch his car drive by and like nod and smile, like, whoa, look at that. How has that guy picked that car out of a sea of identical cars? It's exactly the same.
I couldn't identify that car if it was the car that killed someone in front of me in a hit and run.
The fucking Renault spunk. turn heads and come on their faces, and all the people in the ads are like, wow, Lord, what car is that? The spunk? It's like, it looks exactly like every other fucking piece of shit Renault on the road.
They look like bars of soap, and they drive around, and every now and then in the advert, they'll try and make it like, okay, so the car looks like every car, but in this advert, it's canary yellow, and as it drives past things, they kind of explode into color or something. A burst of flowers comes out of everyone's pants, and whoa! And like a guy drops a load of lemons, and they all turn into lemon trees, and whoa! And it's like a perfume advert. They're trying to take a product that has no business being advertised and just zhuzh it up with meaningless special effects.
That just reminded me of the first time in my life where I realized companies could lie in adverts, or the adverts were not literally true.
Yeah.
It was an advert for McDonald's, and Ronald McDonald, back before he was exiled for some unknown reason. You haven't seen Ronald McDonald for decades now. But back when
he's been cancelled, yeah.
Yeah. They got to him before the cancel crowd could get to him. I don't know what the company found on his hard drive, but it's bad. And in this advert, he had this like hula hoop, and he'd pick up the hula hoop and like pull it down over himself, so he'd go through it. But as he pulled it over himself, he would disappear into the hula hoop as if it was a portal. So, you know, it would come down over his body, and his top half would disappear into the hula hoop.
Right. Okay.
You know, and it leaving the space like a clear space, if you know. And when I saw this advert, I was like, holy shit. What? This is at they have these at McDonald's. And I would every time we went to McDonald's, we didn't go much, but when on the odd occasion we go to McDonald's, I would fucking scour the place for one of these hula hoops. And I'm like, where is it? I'd be going up to the guys behind the counter, grab them by the cuff of their neck. Hey, where is it? And it infuriated me that I could never find these magic hoops, and also that this technology existed and it was exclusive to McDonald's. It made me so angry until eventually I sort of cottoned on that it was a fiction, and that adverts on TV for real products could have in them fictional elements.
And so the idea that you were sat there going, the quantum tube, it's been invented, but by Ronald. Ronald's been funding science with his burger money this whole time. And he's just gleefully mocking the international community on this advert. Ooh. Making himself disappear into the multiverse with a little tube.
Maybe that's where he went. That's where he went. That's why we haven't seen Ronald McDonald for so long. He's lost. He's lost in the multiverse.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, he. It's because he's one of the many, many villains that Spider-Man had to fight. You know, he's one of the Avengers' most terrible kids. So he's like Thanos. He's got a big glove covered in jewels, big red glove. And he snaps it and half of the world gets obese.
Yeah, he's got chicken nuggets in the knuckles.
Yeah. Yeah, and he snaps his fingers and everyone gets, like, slowly gets really fat in the same way that they kind of melt away. And it's like Tom Holland as Spider-Man getting really fat saying, "I don't feel so good, Mr. Stark." As he's getting really obese. It's funny, as a kid, where you sort of go, but they're lying on television.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we just have to sit here and take it?
They can't keep getting away with this.
It does feel outrageous. I mean, I remember when I was a kid and my parents explaining to me that, like, I was reading some magazine and it had one of those, like, cardboard flyer things, like, jammed in the middle of the magazine, which was like, you have won an amazing prize.
Mm.
Or, like, you could have won £1 million or, you know, one of these things.
Yeah.
It was this whole thing. But it was very phrased as if, like, you've pretty much done it.
Yeah. I remember those, yeah.
And I just remember saying to my parents, but how is this allowed?
Yeah, that you can say something like this and not mean it. And it's so believable at that age as well, because when you're a child, you have a sort of unique childhood. It's kind of like an egotism, because your world is so small. You make up such a large proportion of it. It is very believable that you would win a competition like this.
Yeah, and you just sort of think, like, well, they can't just say it, though.
Yeah, they can't just say it and not pay up.
Yeah, and also you think to yourself, like, well, if they put one of these in every magazine saying you've won, then there would be millions of incredibly furious people. Because you assume that everyone's also angry that they're being lied to. Whereas in reality, what happens is no one pays any attention apart from a few pensioners who get scammed.
Yeah.
But you do, you sort of think, like, but surely any company that does this would be faced with some sort of angry mob.
That's the circle of life. You're born and you become a child and you are fooled by magazine scams. And then you become an adult and then you're not fooled anymore. And then you become old and then you're fooled again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's magazine good. Scams.
Yeah, that's the circle of life.
Yes, and now the trouble is that now the magazines are online and made of electricity, and it's a whole new level of fooling the pensioners.
Fool the pensioners. Fool them.
Fool the pensioner sounds like a sort of old card game. You know, I remember going around to my grandma's for tea, Phil, and we'd have tea and shortbread and play gin rummy and fool the pensioner.
Well, speaking of fooling pensioners, we should do a correspondence special.
Yes.
And fool these pensioners, i.e. us, into thinking we're catching up on correspondence.
Yes. Let's dive in to the enormous pile of logs that we have to chop. Let's do it.
Yes. Hup.
Ring letters, emails, phone calls, correspondence.
Okay, quick little one here from Lewis.
Lewis, you is my best friend.
Very nice. So Lewis is basically he says praise redacted and he sent us some tat, Phil. Let's be honest. He sent us some tat.
Let's cut to the tat.
He says the most of the tat he sees is stupid but bland, and then he saw this. Nuff said. Keep jacking it with all the gusto you can, Lewis. And it's hanging on a piece of twine, Phil.
Yeah,
as great. Is tradition.
Barnyard twat. Mm-hmm. Twat tat.
It's a sort of rounded off square hanging from a piece of twine. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just say it because there's no real way of obscuring this through a guessing game. It just says, brains are the new tits.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's it?
That's it. Brains are the new tits. Where are you going to hang that?
Brains are the new tits. They're full of milk. And I have them.
If you get them out in public, it causes a disturbance.
Yeah, maybe the stat's right, actually.
Maybe it's okay in the end. I wonder if you can have a nipple on your brain.
Ooh, squeeze out the thoughts.
Yeah, maybe that could be like a nice metaphor for being like a teacher. Please, suckle at my brain, Teat.
Children! Now, Mr. Novelli, we've been getting a lot of complaints from parents. Apparently, you've been asking the children to suckle at your teat.
Suckle at my brain, Teat. I'm not. I'm not some sort of freak. It'd be funny if they were like, the children's exam results are exemplary, but the parents hate your metaphors. We're only willing to let the metaphor slide because of the exam results, to be honest, and even then, just barely.
Well, please just play with your reason, penises, and come to a reasonable consensus on it.
If you just let me tickle your forgiveness balls. For even a moment.
For just a moment.
Sean gets in touch.
Sean, when were you born? Yesterday. I don't know.
I like that.
Thank you.
He says, hey, PNP, praise redacted but well earned. I'm not a founding farter, but I found your podcast this last month and I'm now fully caught up.
Oh, wow. You, yeah. That's astonishing. Astonishing work.
It always feels like people are admitting something to me that I should be, like, on health grounds advising them not to do. But I'm glad that he's done it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it's very much like, oh, you shouldn't have drunk that all at once. So have someone you trust stay with you for a bit.
Yeah. Because it's something that we've made. It feels like someone said, God, thank you for sending around that huge lasagna. I ate it all in 10 minutes. You should go, wow, thank you, but also, really? And oh no. But good, but uh-oh. But as long as you're happy, but watch out.
Thank you. Yeah, well, thank you, Sean, for wolfing down our ear lasagna.
So Sean says he wants a definition for tat. He says he was chatting with a friend and he's talked about how his friend talked about how his girlfriend put up a framed picture that said it's 1 o'clock somewhere, and I replied in kind, classic tat, and he was confused as to my meaning.
Classic tat.
I hope he did double finger guns.
Or like an Italian chef nice symbol.
Yes, chef's kiss. Classic tat. Imagine framing it's 1 o'clock somewhere.
Extraordinary, yeah. Imagine still finding novelty in that. Imagine seeing that and going, what? Wow.
What? Wine isn't a time, but it can be time for wine. Really tickled about it. Good Lord.
And so his friend couldn't quite understand what Sean meant by tat.
Yes, and I think from later context, Sean is based in America, so it might not be American.
Oh, interesting.
Slang. He said, can we get a definitive definition on tat to explain to the pod duds what we mean?
Pod duds. Ooh. I like that.
Sassy
that
old Sean.
Very good.
Yes.
These Yanks, they do have the occasional way with words. We must give them that.
Pod duds. Definition for
they
tat.
They have their Hemingways among them. A definition for tat. It's a hard one. Like, it's trying to define irony, trying to define tat.
Yeah.
Well, how would you define tat? Tat.
A lack of irony.
Maybe tat is a... Is it a sort of... uniform attempt at uniqueness?
Yes, that's nice. It's a uniform attempt at uniqueness, and it, I suppose, it must take the form of sloganeering.
Okay, yeah, nice. So yes, sloganeering is a very important part of it.
Yeah.
There's a cheek to it. There has to be an element of cheek.
Yes. I would, yeah, it's like the
but
humor.
But uncharming, but ultimately uncharming cheek.
Yeah.
It's an uncharming, try hard cheekiness.
This yes. is difficult. Yes, yes, yes. And trying to sort of paint. It's kitsch. It's whimsical kitsch. Sort of mottos.
Yeah. Whimsical kitsch, but ultimately cliched.
It's got to be cliched, yeah. And it's because it's not always objects. I guess it's on t-shirts and mugs as well. Not one, well, you know, like clothing. I mean, it's like clothing and objects, but signs. So ultimately, it comes down to the fact that it's words, right? So it's words on things.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Cheeky, unfunny slogans.
I mean, like, I think if you just say like a sign saying "Live, Laugh, Love," the "Live, Laugh, Love" is the Iliad of tat.
It's platonic tat.
It's the first tat. Live, Laugh, Love is the one that started it all off. It's the Don Quixote of tat.
Live, Laugh, Love is the tat equivalent of that kind of like long, that kind of long monkey kind of holding a spear.
Yeah, it was the first of its kind. It's Lucy. It's
the missing link.
As a tangent, do you know why Lucy, the missing link skeleton primate lady, was named Lucy?
I don't.
In the camp where the archaeologists were digging in the site, on the radio when they discovered her, was playing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Really?
By the Beatles, yeah.
Oh, that's nicer than I assumed it was just something like, I'll name it after my daughter or something. Or like, that's quite a good random
No,
one.
That'll be shit. That'll be shit, Pierre.
That would suck.
I don't want to hear about someone's daughter. I want to hear about the Beatles.
It'd be funny. It'd be funny if they called it Ringo. Ringo the Ape Man. Although, of course, Ape Man is a song by the Kinks.
I think Ringo already has two sort of Neanderthalic an aesthetic that it would get confusing.
Yes, that's true. That's true. He does look a bit like the rest of the Beatles found him in a big ice cube.
He does.
Taught him to play drums in their band. Caveman Beetle. Beetle Caveman.
Caveman Beetle.
Caveman Beetle.
Cymbal Bang Bosch. Caveman Beetle.
Cymbal Bang. Lucy Sky with Diamond.
Lucy Sky Diamond.
Lucy Sky Diamond. I think that's as close as we're going to get to a definition, though. Whimsical.
What was it, though? We sort of. The definition was about 2 minutes long.
Whimsical, unfunny slogans on objects.
I like it. Whimsical, unfunny slogans. Yes, good, good, good.
I think that's a good working definition for now.
Because it does have to be unfunny. If it's funny, it's not tat.
I think I agree with that,
yes. But it's very rare. I can't even think of anything that would qualify for that vanishingly small subcategory.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have to be pretty unique stuff. And then you would go, no, that's just a funny sign.
Yeah. No. Credit where credit's due. Yeah. That is a funny sign.
Whoever's done that sign has nailed it. However, over time, enough reproductions of that sign will turn it to tat, like nuclear decay.
That's right. That's right. All roads lead to tat, I'm afraid.
The greatest art in the world can become tat through repetition.
Yes, 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 yes.
Little statues of David everywhere.
Yeah. But thank you for that mental exercise.
Yeah, very nice. And and Sean says, I'd be remiss if I didn't share a scatological tale of my own making. Growing up in America in a hyper basketball focused town.
Oh.
America.
I love that idea. A town that's obsessed with b-ball.
Yeah, and like having to grow up and thinking like, God, nothing's worth anything in this town if it's not on the court.
Does Sean live in a musical? Did he grow up in a musical about basketball? Because it sounds a lot like it.
Sean lives in a musical about basketball called Hoops. Hoops! Exclamation mark. And then the caption underneath is something like, it's about knowing when to shoot and knowing when to boot.
And knowing when to toot?
Yeah.
When
yeah,
to
yeah,
shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Knowing when to shoot and knowing when to toot.
Yes.
It's Hoops. Hoops. That's the opening number. Everyone on the basketball court. Hoops, 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 hoops.
And they're hula hooping with nets on the bottom.
Yes, lovely stuff. Another brilliant idea from Bud Pod, the Ideas Factory.
Another platinum coated idea popped out of the Bud Pod mind bum. So this is Sean growing up in a hyper basketball focused town, those goddamn jocks. I went to watch the high school game with my father as a 7-year-old. Gosh. So
young for a father?
This is rural America, Phil. Grew up fast in those basketball prairies. During the game, I felt a need to relieve myself in a moment of what I thought was going to manifest in standard flatulence that we all experience.
Standard. Classic garden variety flatulence, yep.
Mm-hmm. In a large crowd that blanketed my young self in anonymity, I let it squeak through.
Oh, no.
Mm. To my chagrin, I realized...
He let it squeak through. His hoop! His hoop!
It wasn't air, it's poop! This is the new Hamilton.
Here's hoop.
Here's hoop. Bob.
Hoops, hoops, hoops. Hoops, hoop, hoops. He let poop out through his hoop. Hoops.
I'm imagining a lot of brass. A lot of trumpets. Yeah. Like very sort of New Orleans carnival. Fucking hell. So he lets it squeeze through. Here's hope. he says, to my chagrin, we've had remiss and chagrin from Sean. I'm loving it.
This is that 20th century great American novel shit, yes. Man.
Yes.
It's a grand tradition he's tapping into.
Sean Scott Fitzgerald over here.
Nice.
I realized my expectations of offensive air to the masses was immediately satiating my undergarments in a moistness that was not anticipated.
Oh, no. Yes. Yeah, the telltale moist.
I excused myself from my father's presence to use the restroom. Confident 7-year-old. Small town. That's what I'm getting from
Father! This. Father, forgiveness, but I must ablute. Please, I'll return from the facilities soon.
Presently.
But continue presently. Please do continue to enjoy the day's events.
What I found in my tighty-whities was not dissimilar to salsa.
Oh, ooh. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I've never, in all my years of Bud Pod, in all the poop descriptions... have I heard salsa?
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's
stuff.
Maybe the worst. That's awful.
There's something really off-putting about that because there's a lot packed into one word there. And he even says speckled with red and green pepper fragments. I mean...
No!
Don't give kids spicy food, I suppose, is the moral.
Yeah, they don't have that intestinal...
Fortitude.
Strength. Yeah, fortitude. Not like me with my man guts.
Yeah, you do. You have not the stomach of a boy. Only a man can handle his tacos. He says, try as hard as I might, no effort, no amount of toilet paper to underwear could resolve this tragedy. I approached my father and said, we must leave.
A 7-year-old saying this is so funny.
Terrifying.
We must leave.
We must leave. Or grabbing him like Jason Bourne. We gotta go.
There's no time to explain.
I approached my father and said, we must leave. He replied, the game's still going on. And I could
so
see
American.
A change.
So American.
Yeah, the game's still going on. The big high school game. It's b-ball. Hoops.
It's hoops. Come on, Sean. It's hoops. This is a hoops town. You know that.
And I could see a change in his demeanor as my soiled stench hit his nose. And he gave the affirmative of, yes, we must leave. I like that. We must leave. But the game's still going on. Yes, we must leave. He ushered me through the nose-clenching crowd that was all too aware of my embarrassment and their nostril inconvenience. And while I was ashamed, I also realized that in that moment, for better or worse, I was a legend. Koji.
Thank you, Sean. That's a great story. That must have been some pungent stuff for everyone to smell it. Like, just...
Yeah.
Like, you know.
For a mere boy,
but with the hoop of a man. He has a man's hoop. Da, 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 da. What a hoop.
a whole sort of like Lin-Manuel Miranda style rap about how if you want to be a man, you got to get a hoop. You got to get a hoop like a man, like a whole coming of age song. Issuing the challenge to the young main character. Get out of here, kid. This is for man hoops. So they slap the salsa out of his hand.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Coming this summer, the Broadway hit is finally a major motion picture. The smash hit musical, Hoops! Hoops, da-da-da-da-da-da, hoops, da-da-da-da-da, playing hoops, da-da-da-da-da, oh, hoops. The smash hit musical about a basketball-obsessed town and the loose anuses of its inhabitants is finally being made into a Hollywood film. You can finally enjoy on the big screen all your favorite Hoops hit tunes, like Hoops, 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 playing Hoops, sitting on our Hoops. The rousing slap that backboard. Ooh, slap that backboard. You're so dirty, girl. Ooh, slap that backboard. You're changing my world. The beautiful ballad and sad song. I love the squeak of his trainers. I love the squeak of his trainers. Squeaking and squelching on the basketball court. It's like the squeak of my heart. When I look at him, I don't feel bored. And good luck not dancing to Shiny Shorts. Shiny shorts, we wear shiny shorts. When we play basketball, we love our tiny shiny shorts. Hoops, get your tickets now. Starring Emma Stone and the late Laurence Olivier.
Quick little sighting from Shona.
Shona. We found Shona recently, right?
I think it might be a different one. I can't remember.
Whoa, more than one Shona?
Mm.
That's when you know you've made it.
That's right. Spotted this when I was out for a hike near Crian Larich, which I assume is in Scotland somewhere.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
So this sign's quite something. The sign says, Phil, it's one of those signs that's nailed to a post in the countryside.
Mm.
And it says, please poo responsibly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a good message.
Yeah.
And on top of the sign, so please poo responsibly is in the middle. It forms a dividing line.
Yeah. Okay.
On the top of the sign is a sort of stick figure man silhouette that we'd all recognize squatting over.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some cartoon poo emoji silhouette kind of shooting out of his bum.
Yep.
However, next to that, which we can all understand as a simplistic representation of a shitting human,
mm-hmm.
is an incredibly detailed silhouette of a happy and excited, interested dog. You know when dogs go down on like their front paws, like a yes, fun time?
Yeah.
The dog's doing that, and its tail has wagging lines. And on the silhouette of the dog, they've given it a happy sticking out tongue and big cartoon eyes looking joyously at the poo.
Like it's going to eat it?
Yeah, that's the implication I'm getting, is that this dog is so ready to eat some human poo. And that seems to be why they're saying poo responsibly.
Is the dog here meant to be like a catch-all representation of nature? And is it sort of nature approving of the stick man's responsible poo?
I think it is about dogs, because I think it must just be one of those places where people let their dogs off the lead and then the dogs keep coming back having had an enormous poo lunch.
What's a poo lunch?
They're like eating their poo for lunch, like from a human.
Do they do that?
Oh, yeah, they will, yeah.
Jesus. Not, you love these animals, do you?
I know, but they make it very difficult sometimes. Not all dogs will do this. Some breeds of dog are more civilized than others, but some will absolutely put on a big bib with a poo emoji on and go to town.
Oh, God.
And then near the green tick underneath the please poo responsibly is a big circle labeled rock with stink lines coming from underneath. I think we can all figure out that means poo and then put a rock on it.
Right, okay.
Or a silhouette of digging a hole for some poo. So like do a little hole.
So it really is about keeping it away from those insatiable dogs.
It does seem to be that way, yes. Although, like, I know people, well, I mean, we know better than anyone from this podcast how much people are caught short, but I would just do my best to not need an enormous dump before an enormous hike, but I suppose you can't always plan these things.
If I'm in need of a shit outdoors, I probably don't have time to dig a hole.
It would be like an entrenchment under fire.
I could dig a hole, but it would have to be after the shit, like I was hiding a body. And then I'd have to do the shit under the ground, then dig a hole, find a spade, dig a hole, yeah. And then roll my shit up in an old rug.
Yes.
And
yes,
then
yes.
I'd throw the rug into the hole.
Do you mean, and presumably you'd be doing all this at night, lit only by the headlights of your own car?
Yeah, and like a single sort of a lamp lantern that I've laid down on the ground.
Yes, like an old night watchman.
That's right, that's right.
Surrounded by mist. Yeah, absolutely. As opposed to doing it before you need the shit, like the guy from Saving Private Ryan desperately trying to dig into the sand with his helmet.
Yes.
Panicking and freaking out.
Yeah.
Gosh, yeah. I mean, I might tweet that sign if I remember to. If anyone cares enough to tweet about I want to see it, then I'll tweet it. But I think I've done a great job describing it, and it's... I can't imagine who printed it. I can't imagine a council approving it with a straight face, but maybe they did.
It sounds like a custom job, I reckon.
We got a lone sign maker.
I think you have to request a sign like that.
Yeah. Like a hard-bitten detective. We got ourselves a rogue signer. And a quick little thing to contemplate here from a different Lewis.
What was the name of the last correspondent?
Well, the last one was Shoners. There was a Lewis
two
before.
Two Shoners. Yeah, two Shoners. Two Lewises.
A lot of Lewises. Louis.
Yeah, gone are the days of the many mats. We are now into the age of the Lewis.
There's got to be some sort of statistical explanation for enjoying this podcast and the names that we see so often. But... it is not for us to say. Lewis says, "Hi, PP," which is good.
Mm-hmm.
he says, "I have a fun horror story about how the internet is turning our brains to mush that made me realize Ooh. How doomed we all are."
I love this sort of thing.
Mm.
Yes.
"I visited home this weekend and got to spend time with my adorable 7-year-old nephew."
Sweet. Mm. Did he say things like, "We must cleave"?
That's the kind of thing 7-year-olds are always saying, according to this podcast. "He's sweet and funny, but loves nothing more than watching YouTube, imitating TikTok dances, and playing Fortnite." Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the kid of today, Pierre. What can I say?
"As such, he has rambling story child brain."
Yeah.
We all know that. We all had
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm. We all did it, yeah.
"He has rambling story child brain, but instead of telling me an anecdote that goes nowhere, he describes TikTok videos to me."
No, horrible. Ooh. Frightening.
Yeah. And it gets weirder, man. "Not only that, but when he's trying to tell jokes of his own, he tells them in the style of a forward-facing camera video."
What does that mean?
Yeah, so... he says he tells him in the style of a forward-facing camera video with setup shots, multiple characters, and accompanying text annotations.
How does he do accompanying text annotations?
I guess
person?
He just stops and goes, "And then underneath here it would say, guess what happened, WTF or something, you know?"
And is he doing like hard cuts and zooms? Is he like pushing his face into your face?
It sounds like he is. So the full thing he says is... "When he's trying to tell jokes of his own, he tells them in the style of a forward-facing camera video with setup shots, multiple characters, and accompanying text annotations, like an excruciating one-man play."
Oh, no. How's he doing setup shots?
Setup shots. I guess he's talking through it like a really energetic, childish director, right? Pitching it to a producer.
Yeah. Oh, right. Like, so first you see a cat climbing down a well.
Yeah.
And then he'll play the cat.
And he does that. And he goes, "And then it zooms in on the eyes," or whatever. And he's probably doing, like, just acting it all out, like some sort of maniac.
Oh, my Lord.
It's chilling stuff.
Horrible.
It would be funny if, like, if that's a normal thing for kids to do, but, like, there's a kid who's become like that, but his parents are, like, completely not online, sort of religious. Like, you'd think he was possessed by a demon.
Yeah,
just a couple of medieval Spanish peasants really mournfully taking this kid to a town priest. "We don't know what to do, Father.
He keeps flossing. He won't stop flossing.
he tell us to like and subscribe.
He keeps pointing down from his face to say, hit that like button. But there's no button, it's just his face. He pointed down at the ground. I look, but there is no button. Please.
Help us. He is possessed.
He will point at various spots in the air as if there are text bubbles explaining what he is doing and why he is doing it and why he's making that sort of perplexed cartoonish expression. But there is no floating text. We have no idea what he is referring to.
He says he is prompted to do things by a robot voice. But we don't hear him, the robot. Oh, man. Okay. I've completely... So hang on. I'll just finish this. Lewis says, I very much hope he grows out of this fast, or I fear we will see future Gen Z open spots taking to the stage and opening with, so I was watching this video on the internet. Koji, Lewis.
I mean, we're already there. I've seen stand-up that's about...
Yeah,
shit, people
some
seen
nonsense
on
out there. Phil, I cannot believe I forgot this. So, the GF and I decided to take her parents to see The Play That Goes Wrong.
Wow!
Yeah.
A Man on the Inside.
I was on the inside. The Play That Goes Wrong. So, I saw it years and years ago before it became the massive, massive, massive success it is now. And it's still good. They've upgraded some of the slapstick because they're in a fancy theater now.
Should we explain what it is for someone who isn't?
Ah, yes. So it's a play that is it's like a murder mystery play, like a classic Agatha Christie. I'm gathering you all in the study, but it's a like deliberately bad. Like the acting is bad, and like they break character. And the idea is that it's being put on by like a bad drama society of amateurs. And it
just
all goes wrong.
It's meta. Yes,
it's meta. It's meta as all hell.
Mark Zuckerberg wrote it, actually.
He did, yeah. He loves slapstick. Mark. He loves it. He loves tumbling and dancing and slapstick. And
anything meta, he'll make it.
Yeah, and there's some very advanced slapstick in it. Good stuff. Advanced theatrical slapstick. But what happened was, I was sat next to a couple that both spoke to each other in English, but they both sounded like... very Spanish, so I don't know what that was about. And they were very drunk and really enjoying The Play That Goes Wrong, but enjoying it like Henry VIII would enjoy something.
Like slapping the knee and eating a big turkey leg.
Yeah, so they were like really like lusciously eating nuts. Like really like gnarling, really eating them, you know.
Oh, that's the worst for you as well.
Yeah, and they were like laughing that kind of almost angry laugh of, ah, like really laughing. Like demons. And then the weirdest thing was the woman was just describing what was going on to herself in glee.
Okay.
So she would just be like, to herself, or kind of to the man she was with, she would be like, oh no, the man, he has forgotten his shoes. But like at that volume, like a loud...
Well, like enough for like how many, like a lot of people to hear, or just like the few people around her?
I'd say within like a 3 meter radius, you're hearing it.
Okay, that's pretty loud, yeah.
Yeah, like a confident conversational volume, and just like saying what was going on, like, oh, he has forgotten his lines. And then whenever anyone did something very melodramatic, like bad acting, she would say to herself, oh, wow. And then like a few times where they forgot the music and stuff, like as part of the joke, and she would be like, come on. I wanted to turn and go, so, what do you think you're watching?
But like saying so come on, like she accepts the premise and is taking part, like she would take part in a pantomime.
Yeah.
Or is she actually expecting a professionally done play and is confused as to why people are forgetting their lines?
Yeah, and she was so engaged. She was so, I mean, they were both battered, but she was so just like taken in by the mistakes. It's like she was real, you know, right?
Yeah.
Sort of go, oh, she has dropped the glass, like spilled the water. So loud. And like people did like a few times. And Asha had to come over and be like, please be quiet.
I am the audience that goes wrong.
Yeah. And it was like she just couldn't believe that in the play that goes wrong, all this stuff was going wrong. It was blowing her mind. You know?
I remember when I saw Louis C.K. live like years ago, before all the drama, and he was doing that bit that was like the famous bit of his at the time, that was of course but maybe, you remember that bit?
Yeah,
where he'd be like, of course children with nut allergies should be protected, but maybe we let them all die and then there are no more nut allergies in the world.
Yeah.
And that was the premise of this bit, and he keeps starting it by going, of course, and then saying something morally obvious before pulling the rug away and saying, but maybe, you know. And this couple sat in front of me, they could not believe this premise. The guy was like, no, whoa, what? So Lucy would go like, of course kids with nut allergies should be protected, and this guy would be like, right, yeah, but where is he going? Like, and he was like articulating all these thoughts out loud, and then Lucy could go, but maybe we close our eyes and nut allergies are gone, and this guy would be like, what, you can't say that, oh my god, this guy's crazy. And then like it builds and builds and builds, and then like Lucy goes, of course slavery was a terrible thing. And this guy just explodes. He's like, no, he's trolling us. And this guy starts saying out loud to his date and just into the general crowd around him. He's going, he's trolling us. He's trolling us.
God. So he's just yelling. He's yelling to the audience, this comedian is joking. Yeah. This comedian is joking.
That was exactly what he was doing. That was exactly what he was doing.
Some people are sick, man. There's something.
This comedian is joking. Oh my god.
He's joking.
Oh my god, this guy's kidding around. Oh my god. I couldn't believe it. I'd never seen a person like that in real life before.
There must
like
just be
like a video game NPC.
Yeah. Who's shocked no matter how many times you hit them with a sword in the game. Whoa. There's got to be like just a percentage of people who are just so sensitive to watching something that they just react in this almost like perfect way that seems so unreal.
Yeah. And I was thinking, like, what is your day-to-day life like? How does everything exist, like, at a surface value?
It must be brilliant.
Everything as it seems? Yeah, everything is as it seems, is it? Everything turns out to be exactly as you expected. And there are no surprises in your everyday life that you come and see a show like this and you cannot compute that a man is saying things like this.
Or just even, like, a meal deal. Free crisps, like just freaking out. Loving it, loving life. God, well, I hope you guys are loving life, because now it's time for me and Phil to go into the private theatre.
Yes.
Of the bonus pod.
The bonus pod. Yeah, it's got a velvet rope in front of it, and all you need to be let through the velvet rope is to subscribe to the Patreon for very reasonable prices.
Very reasonable, considering that it's the private theatre of the mind.
The theatre of dreams. But thank you so much for the great correspondence once again. See you in the bonus pod. Bye!
Bye!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.